On Tuesday, May 7th, the New York State Senate has passed the Climate Superfund Act. We're now going to wait for see what the assembly does, and of course, we have the governor. We still have to sign it, but we've asked Anne Marie from NYPERG to come on and just give us an update of where the bill is at, and particularly taking a look a bit at how the money would be spent, particularly impact on environmental justice communities. So Anne, congratulations on getting the bill through the Senate.
Oh, yes, it's all due to the wonderful Senate Finance Committee Chair Liz Krueger, great, great prime sponsor. And of course, many senators. I think a majority of all the senators co-sponsored this wonderful bill.
So can you quickly explain to people what is the importance of the Climate Superfund Act? What does it actually do?
It raises $3 billion a year for 25 years in a row from the big oil companies that generated in the past. Massive amounts of greenhouse gas emissions of air pollution that caused the climate crisis. And that $3 billion a year would take a huge burden off the taxpayers. Last year, the taxpayers paid $2 billion plus for climate crisis costs, for climate repair after storms, climate protection programs. So big oil, make polluters pay, would be established finally in New York State.
Now, Governor Hochul has n been not a fan of carbon pricing in general, even though she's proposing what she calls cap and invest. And one of her concerns is that putting a price on carbon will raise the price at the gasoline pump for consumers, and they'll vote against her for doing that. But I understand the Climate Superfund, the idea is not to allow the big oil and gas companies to pass the price increase on to consumers in New York. How does that work?
It's market forces largely. Basically, the cost of that they're paying is a cost for the past pollution. It doesn't have anything to do with their future product costs. So if ExxonMobil has to pay, and they're number two on the list of the big oil companies that were most biggest in terms of air pollution, if ExxonMobil has to pay a small amount per year, a reasonable amount compared to their massive profits, they pay. And if Sunoco is not on the list, doesn't have to pay because they didn't emit as many greenhouse gas emissions, then they would maintain their gas prices at the regular rate because there's no increased production costs. And so Exxon would basically lose, consumers would stop going to Exxon's gas stations. So by market forces, it protects the consumer. And also by the fact that it's paying for past damages, just like our toxic Superfund program does. Chemical companies pay a fee for the past dumping of past chemical waste.
Now, I understand that a significant portion, perhaps a third of the $3 billion that would be raised, $3 billion, I believe, over 30 years, would go to support projects to remedy damage that's occurred in disadvantaged communities. How does that work, and how would that impact here in the Capital District?
Well, NYPERG did a report a couple weeks ago where we looked at that. The 30% of the 3 billion, sorry, 35% of the 3 billion has to go to disadvantaged communities. There are over 1,700 disadvantaged census tracts that are recognized by DEC and NYSERDA in New York State and by the state agencies. And so we looked at that in terms of the census tracts. It's roughly $570,000 per census tract, that $1 billion a year for 25 years in a row. And so potentially Albany County could get $13 million a year for 25 years in a row. Rensselaer County, $7 million. The city of Troy alone, $5.7 million. They have so many disadvantaged community census tracts. Schenectady County, $8 million. And Schenectady City, $7.4 million. So these are really important contributions to the climate crisis, and they will result in flood prevention, in cooling centers, and air conditioning for low-income people, dealing with extreme heat, dealing with severe storms, and also ramping up our water treatment and sewage systems so they're resilient.
Now, The bill has now passed the state senate. What are the prospects looking like with both the assembly and also with Governor Hochul being willing to sign it?
It doesn't look good. It looks like we have to be a major squeaky wheel. Both the governor and Speaker Hastie and the Assembly Democrats, even though we have over 76 co-sponsors in the Assembly, both the leaders have basically been irresponsible in ignoring the Climate Superfund as the path forward for fiscal fairness and justice. It's basically, as someone said in the papers recently, it's a new brand of climate denialism. We call it irresponsibility. The Assembly has not put it on their Environmental Conservation Committee agenda, which is going to be shutting down in a couple of weeks. They no longer have any more committee meetings. So that's a clear signal. And the Assembly did not support it actively being in the budget, nor did the governor. The governor is more active in her opposition, but the Assembly is also irresponsible, claiming that their cover excuse, Mark, is it would could result in consumer prices increasing. And as I explained, it has not and will not. It didn't under the Toxic Superfund, and it will not under the Climate Superfund. We had an economist from NYU School of Law talk to the governor's staff and the speaker's staff 3 weeks ago, comprehensively addressed all their questions, and yet they still do not support it.
Now, you mentioned this money, a third, 35% or something, would go to disadvantaged communities. So, additional money would also go to the counties in the Capital District. Had local governments, stepped in to weigh in and say, hey, I know Albany County, for instance, has done a county climate resiliency plan. Are local governments putting pressure on the governor and the assembly to try to get this passed?
Yes, they are starting to. The Albany mayor, Kathy Sheehan, is a strong supporter. She joined 100 local elected officials, many of them mayors and town supervisors, who sent a letter to the governor in December of 2023, urging the governor to include this in her executive budget. They yet then again sent the same letter to the speaker and the Senate Majority Leader, and they've been working with us through two organizations, the New York State Association of Counties and Elected Officials to Protect America. So they're ramping up because local governments are using up their rainy day money to deal with the ongoing climate crisis costs.
Now, I understand other states have been looking at this. I live pretty close to the Vermont border, so I hear Vermont's been one of the states. Has any other state yet done it, or are they close to the passing a Climate Superfund Act?
You're right. It's been introduced in six states. It was just introduced in California last week. And Vermont has passed it in the Senate and is close to passing it in the House. Their governor is a Republican and will likely veto it, but they have enough votes to override the veto. And the rumor is that later this summer, we will see Vermont pass this into law by overriding the governor's veto. That's the rumor, and that's what we're hoping for. It's a building block approach. Ultimately, we need a federal climate superfund.
Now we have just over a minute left. Are there other key climate issues, environmental issues NYPERG is working on? I know that a lot of people quest continue to work on the New York HEAT Act, but what are some other priorities in the last 60 seconds for the in the legislative session?
Well, yes, New York HEAT Act is a top priority. The Justice Transition Act, in terms of peaker power plants being phased out with a rapid timetable, and dealing with that transition for workers, it's a really important bill. And there's a new bill on cap and invest that sets up guardrails, which Assemblymember Kallas has introduced. And of course, Renewable Capital Act, which is near and dear to all the climate advocates on the Capital District, to have it go green, have the power source for the Empire State Plaza be from geothermal energy, be from not fossil fuels.
Thank you very much. I've been talking with Anne Rabe, NYPERG, and this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.